You're listening to the Study Clicks podcast, your number one source for junior cycle and leaving cert tips. We make exams easier. Hello and welcome to the Study Clicks podcast. I'm your host, Luke, and today we are going to be chatting to Laura Stapleton, who has a lot of really interesting experiences to share, I suppose, about getting her dream course and getting into college and kind of the path to get there. She is about to enter her fifth year of medicine in Poland. So obviously that's interesting in itself. So we'll have a chat about how you got to that point. And kind of you can share any tips for any students who are thinking about studying abroad or kind of like thinking about other options aside from like, you know, the usual CAO. So thank you very much for joining us today, Laura.
Thanks for having me.
So I suppose we'll launch in straight away with the first question, which is kind of taking you back to your Leaving Cert self. What was kind of your initial plan when you were in sixth year? What did you think you were going to study?
Well, my CAO itself chopped and changed a load during sixth year. When I started initially, I'd say more towards TY, I was always thinking teaching. But then as I got a little bit further, I was thinking, okay, I really want to do health sciences. So physio was like my main one for ages. And then kind of, I think I always had medicine in the back of my mind, but I never really thought I could do it or that I'd get enough points. And I found myself still around like, I want to say Christmas of sixth year, being like, oh, I'm still getting enough points here. Like I could actually do it if I want to. So just with like a few other things, I hadn't really prepped for the HPAT. So I kind of was a bit in my mind of like, is it even worth doing the HPAT for anyone who doesn't know? Like it is, it's like not doing an extra subject, to be honest. So I ended up deciding Christmas of sixth year that I was just going to do it. Probably not the best decision, but I ended up doing it, did horrifically in it, obviously, because I didn't prepare for it. So then I had medicine, obviously, on my CAO, and I think I had pharmacy and a few other science courses on there. But as the year kind of progressed, I knew I really did want to do medicine. I guess, you know, when you're doing your Irish orals and all those things, you have to learn why you want to do those courses when you're saying, like, what do you want to do next year? So that kind of really cemented it, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose kind of going back then to the HPAT, you were kind of saying that you didn't think you'd done very well in it. I suppose for people who, it's a very daunting thing. I know people who've done it. It's like crazy. Like you said, it's like an extra subject. Honestly, I think it's like an extra two subjects. What does a prep for a HPAT look like at that stage when you're in sixth year? I know you did it again afterwards and we'll get to that. But like when you're in sixth year, like what did that mean? Was that just like studying it like it was a subject alongside the rest of them or...
So for anyone who doesn't know, you do the HPAT, it's just after your mocks usually in February. I want to say like the second or third weekend in February of sixth year. So I decided to start prepping for it around Christmas. So there's like free, Acer is the crowd who make the HPAT, and I did their like free exams and did them. Anyone who prepares for the HPAT knows that those free exams are much easier than the actual
exams.
No, not at all. And they're just easier to get through. Like you'd always finish them with loads of time to spare and everything, which isn't very reflective of the actual thing. So then I did those and I was like, oh, I'm doing fine. And you also can't scale it. Like it's not 80 out of 100. It's all on a bell curve for the exam. So you don't really know what percentile you're getting or anything when you're preparing for it that way. So then I did them, kind of went in a bit of false confidence for it. And the year I did it as well, I don't think they've done it since. It was in person. So it was in, you know yourself, in the main building in UL, massive room, like walking in. It was like 500 people in this room, like everyone that had already told you they weren't doing the HPAT, they weren't going for medicine, and you see them in this big HPAT hall. So you're like, okay, that's... And it was a stressful enough exam. Did awful and it probably didn't finish one section properly of it. It's like a 3 and a bit hour exam, like it's a little big exam, and I think I got like the 21st percentile, like awful, but I didn't prepare. So what more can
and it's
expect?
A knock to your confidence as well at that point, like, you know, at that stage of the year, just after your mocks, the last thing you need is to find out you know gotten the 21st percentile of an exam. Do you know what I mean? Especially when
to be fair though, you don't find out your results until after the Leaving Cert ends. So
Did you kind of have a fair idea that it went badly after?
Yes and no. Like even the following year when I was really prepared, I would do my mock exams and you'd come out and you just wouldn't know because like they're just, it's the queerest exam you'll do. Like I'd never have any inclination of how well I had done after any of them. So I kind of was like, oh, we're just going to park that, not think about it again.
Yeah. So I suppose when it came to the Leaving Cert results, now I know myself and Laura both did our Leaving Cert. Well, didn't do our Leaving Cert the year of COVID-19. So like, obviously it was a bit different. But when your results came out, you were initially disappointed with them, or was it kind of unexpected?
Do you know, like, just I'll be completely transparent. I had like a range that I would have been pretty content with, and it was smack bang in the middle of that range. I think this is mad that I'm not even sure these numbers, because they were like the biggest numbers in my mind at the time. But I want to say it was between 566 and 589 I was happy with, and I got right in the middle, I got 577. So I was like, okay, I'm happy out with those. Like, there was a few grades that I felt I was the same as you. Like, I'd been dropped down from like my predicted grade by like the standardization. So there's a few that I was like, oh, I didn't think that was a fair prediction, but like they all worked out. There was others that I was like, oh, that would probably be my reach grade in that subject. So on the whole, I was like, okay, I'm actually happy enough. Like, it wasn't that much of a letdown. So in that year, I kind of was like, okay, like these are good. They're good results. Like, I didn't initially feel I needed to repeat off the bat. You know?
Yeah, I mean, did you say you got 5.7, what was it?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, some 5.7 something.
Around there,
That's not a number that you consider repeating off. Do you know what I mean?
No,
like, that's a great result. And like, I think as well, I do think our year was very strange in that sense, but it still applies today to like, you know, still being disappointed or like, you know, you said some of your grades went down. That could be the equivalent of somebody like maybe getting a little bit worse than they thought they would. So I think it's still quite applicable to like, but I suppose, was it, so obviously you were happy with the results, was it kind of more when the CAO offers came out that you realized, oh no, like this didn't go
Yeah, so like, as I said, you get the HR results at the end of June. So that would have been like after the Leaving Cert would have taken place, even though with our year, obviously we didn't do it, but they still kept the HR results until the end of then. So you have like a 4-day kind of period before the final change of decision. I think it's July 1st for the CAO.
Yeah, I think so.
So I knew at that point I obviously wasn't going to get medicine with that HBAT, but I very much was of the opinion I didn't want to do a course just to do a course, and especially to waste a year of fees. Like, that's expensive. It's a big decision to make. And I also didn't want to do a general science degree and then have the choice of like having to go into graduate entry medicine. Like, I was very of the opinion I wanted to do a course that, if you know, in 4 years time, you don't know where you are going to be like financially, life-wise, if you want to go and do another 4 years of college. I wanted to be in a place where I'm happy to work in that field still. So that kind of pushed me very much towards like only the allied health. So like the physio, the pharmacy, all of those. And out of all of them, the only one that I really could see myself at the time going into was pharmacy. So I changed my CAO to just the three pharmacies. So Cork, Trinity and RCSI. Okay. And I kind of had a feeling like points wise, like I want to say I would have been like fairly good points wise with them to be okay. Like, they weren't going to be major reaches, but they would have been definitely like on par. So I popped those three down and I didn't put anything else. So I was like, you know what? If I get it, I get it. If I don't, that's redirection to do something else.
Yeah.
So obviously results day came around, got my CAO, and it was actually so funny. I was texting all of the girls, because you know yourself, like, you get your text a little bit earlier than the original time of like, oh, it's out. And all my friends had their results. All of my friends had their course. And I was like, guys, no one's texted me. I don't have one. What's going on? And it turns out I actually didn't get a course. I'd missed pharmacy in, I want to say it was RCSI was the lowest that year by a point. So I was like, oh no, okay, here we are. So then we kind of became the waiting game for a round two.
That is just crazy. Like, the fact that you got 570 odd points and still kind of felt kind of like this, you know, you didn't get any of the courses that you had put down.
And I want to say I was like 20 clear. It went up really high that year.
Yeah.
Because I remember looking at them. Yeah,
it was bad. It was the same. Like, I put down, like, I think I put 5 courses down in my CAO, and I would have, if it was the year before, had enough for any of them. And then I ended up getting my 4th choice, like, and I was raging.
Yeah.
But like, you just really don't know how it's going to go until the day of the CAO offers.
Absolutely.
But to have the kind of points and kind of feel secure in that, especially because you had already made a bit of a sacrifice in the sense that your heart initially was set on medicine, and you had decided, okay, do you know what, maybe that's not for me, I'll put down pharmacy. And then to still not get that, like, I'm sure that was like like very disappointing.
I think it's what we didn't have anything to play off of, because obviously there was such a point surge that year, just like completely out of the normal. So I remember looking, obviously, at what those three courses were, and I think I was like on the money for Cork. So I was like, okay, unlikely I'm gonna get Cork, but you know, like, what's the worst I end up in Trinity or CSI for? Yeah. Like, that's not something to complain about. That's great.
Yeah.
I think I was 20 points clear, or maybe just shy of 20 of RCSI. And I was like, oh, worst case scenario, I'm getting RCSI.
It's RCSI, yeah.
Yeah. And then just to see nothing, I was like, oh, okay, guess we're taking a gap year. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So is that what you, so then when you found out you didn't get any of the courses that you'd put down, was that, so what were you kind of thinking, either gap year or were you thinking repeat? Like how where was your mind at that point?
Yeah, like it definitely was a conversation that we had, that of like, oh, do I repeat? But then we were lucky that we had the option to repeat subjects. So I repeated chemistry, even though I got a H2 in it, I kind of thought I was always going to get a H2 in it, just because for anyone who knows, chemistry is like a short enough course. So at that point, we hadn't been properly in school since like March, even though I'd been studying away until, I want to say it was May that they cancelled the Leaving Cert.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, that's a short enough course that I can like relearn to a high enough level and I could potentially get it up to that H1 just to get myself a few extra points for applying for again next year. So I reset that in November, but on the whole, we talked about it at home and I was like, I don't think there's a point in me going and repeating this when, who's to know if it's predicted again next year, I could be well in the same boat again, like, you know?
Yeah.
And I just didn't think it was going to be that much to win from it. So yeah, I guess I was forced into a bit of a gap year, seeing as I had no course to go into. did that. And then I worked as well. So, but it was also high to COVID, so not much working.
And I suppose it was during that gap year then that you gave another shot to the HPAT, was it?
Yeah, so I really knuckled down that HPAT. I think to hear anyone that says you can't study for the HPAT, I am absolute proof you can. Like, I went from the 21st percentile to the 90th percentile in a year.
It's crazy.
Yeah, like, you have to study at it, you just have to work at it, and then it's very manageable. It really is. And my year as well, it was like the proctored version. So it was online, like, so it was very odd. I remember I kicked everyone in my house out that morning. They all went to breakfast. It was just me and dad at home, if anything happened with the laptop. I used MedEntry, which I would recommend to anyone. When I did it anyways, there were three different like platforms. I want to say it was like silver, gold and platinum or something like that. And I did the middle one and it was more than enough. I did every exam. Like, did them under timed conditions, which for me was massive, that I didn't finish any of the sections the year before and I finished all of them at loads of time the following year. Like, would recommend it absolutely. Like, if you do it properly and you prepare for it properly, it's so studyable.
Yeah. So obviously you sat the HPAT, so you're kind of back on the medicine grind then, where you're kind of like, okay, it was during that gap year you kind of thought, okay, well, I didn't get pharmacy, let me try get medicine again, even though you know, it has more steps to it and was like a bit harder to get. Yeah. You kind of thought, while I have the year, let me kind of lock in and do it and get it this time.
So like, the pharmacy was really like, it was a backup plan of like another career, which with very similar like reasons as to why I wanted to. I wanted to work in a people facing role and wanted to work in a very like logical centered role. Like, even from doing medicine now, I've really loved pharmacology, so it still would work. I like the two of them. My aunt's a doctor abroad, and where she's in Canada, and they have clinical pharmacists who work in the hospital a lot, which I could see myself going into. So it kind of worked the best, I think, for why I wanted to do medicine. So I was like, okay, these two kind of are linking up in like the things I want out of my career.
Yeah.
So that's why pharmacy was there.
Having done the HPAT the second time around, kind of probably you felt it went better. Is that at that point then, did you switch and put medicine back to the top of your CAO?
Yeah, for sure. Medicine was number one straight away again. Yeah. And then actually during that year, I did a level 5 in nutrition because I was like, okay, I'm going to...
You like just... really made the most of that year.
I really love studying, obviously.
That's crazy.
So I went and did that. And then that's why I put nutritional science and dietetics down on my CAO as well. So I think that was kind of it. I think there might have been some science. No, there wasn't. So it was just medicine, pharmacy, dietetics, nutrition.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So having the year done, gap year is over. You've done a million exams. You've done the HPAT now. You have you have medicine back up the top of your CAO.
Yeah.
CAO day part two rolls around. And what happens?
So before that, I got my HPAT results in like end June, and got them. I was in lifestyle working at the time, opened it on my lunch break, tears flooding. Everyone's happy for me. It's great. Doing the maths of it, I was 8 points clear of the lowest, which I don't know if people know, but like for medicine, that's a lot of points. Like the medicine points don't really rise that much, just because like everyone generally is getting around the same points, leaving cert points wise. And then obviously the rest of it's based off of the HPAT curve.
HPAT, yeah.
So like there's not that much room for chipping and chopping around. Like,
yeah.
So I was like, okay, 8 points clear is massive. Like, I think the most any of the medicine courses went up the year before was 2. Like, I was like, yeah, this is great.
And that was with points inflation that year too.
Yeah, like I had really high points. I think I got like total, I had like 7.35, which I think would have got me
how
like,
that works. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I would have like 5 out of 6 the ones the year before. So I was like, okay, I'm good. Like, again, worst case scenario, I'm in Galway.
Yeah.
So CO there comes around and it's like deja vu all over again. I'm texting the girls. I'm like, guys, I haven't got a text again. Like, where is my text? Like, what's going on? Why isn't no one texting me my course? Mm. And then like, I think it's 2 o'clock rolls around. So I go on to my course and I see my 8th choice is there, which is nutritional science in UCC. And I was like, what is going on? Like, what happened? Come to find out I missed Galway, I think, was the lowest that year, and I missed it by 1 or 2. One in the end, definitely, but I think it might have been 2 initially. Yeah, medicine.
That is,
and then all the pharmacies
so
blew
shattering.
Up. They were crazy. It was,
that
you know,
so
I think
shattering.
That one hurt a lot more than the year before. The year before, I was like, okay, fair. I didn't prepare. Like, I can't expect to get a great result or get my course when I didn't prepare. Whereas this year, I'm like, I actually gave it my all. I did everything, like, by the book. I got the results that I would need. And then I got
that. The fact that the initial CAO disappointment the first year wasn't even for a course that was like your dream course. You know what I mean? Like, and then you went back and actually like put in the work, got the insanely good HPAT, had the points, and then to have that, it's like, like that's soul shattering. We say this in hindsight now. I mean, I wouldn't be saying this if you.
but no, like, for sure.
So, I mean, what was the thought then? Like, where do you go from there?
Do you know,
I didn't even
yeah, like, do you know, I was really down, because at that point I was like, what do I do? Like, I'm not gonna give it a third go. Like, at that point I'm 19, I'm like, which I know looking back you're like, that's so young, but I'm
that's
like, I can't take another gap year for, like, I could be here forever if I keep doing this. As well, we had no idea what was going on with the leaving certs of, like, are they going to continue to be predicted grades, are they going to keep going up, what's going on? So I was like, okay, like, I have to do something. So I think I waited a day or two before I accepted nutritional science in UCC, which I wasn't too mad about even doing, because initially, at the end point, I would like to have gone and be a dietitian if I was going to work, like to be working in a hospital, which would have still meant another 2-year master's. So I still was like, oh, I'm still going to be doing 6 years and a post-grad study for a course that I didn't really even want.
Having taken a gap year already. Yeah,
and it really being my third choice. Like, I would have no problem doing that if it was something that I really wanted to do. But again, I was like, this just doesn't fit what I want.
Yeah.
So it was actually that day when the results came around. My cousin had been doing her leaving cert that year, and she's living up in Dublin, family full of law, and she ended up getting law in UCC, and it was like tragic. So like, oh, she didn't get Trinity, like, this is awful. Come to find out, she actually loves UCC. She got an offer for Trinity later on and she deferred it. She didn't want it. She loves UCC. So that worked out really great for her. But anyways,
it worked out, yeah.
Yeah, both of our moms were on the phone to each other just being like, wow, like, this is a great, our two daughters aren't happy. But so she had been listening on the radio, and the agency that I actually went with to Poland had been on saying that you can still interview for Poland if you want to do medicine. So I think I emailed them literally that day, like the day of CAO results. And I did an interview. I did my first like call with them the following day. And I think I did my interview like 3 days later.
Is that online, the interview?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's changed a slight bit since I did like our intake for it. So for us, it was just our grades and an interview and like a personal statement. Now you have to do an entrance exam, but as far as I'm aware, you can still do your entrance exam after the CAO results come out, as far as
so your HPAT kind of wasn't considered by
nothing.
Them. Okay, yeah. So it was just your leaving cert grades, your interview, and a personal statement.
Yeah, there's a few other like statements, like a few other documents, but nothing major.
And like, so if you had wanted to do that from the outset, would the process have been as quick then too? Or like, does it usually start after the leaving cert, after the results and everything? Or have some people like gotten their offer for there before the results even come out?
Yeah, so the vast majority, there was only 8 of us that applied, like in my year anyways, there's only 8 of us that applied after the SAO results came out.
Okay.
Because we all were like on the cusp and thought we were going to be getting it.
Yeah.
But the vast majority, everyone else, so say in my class alone, I think that we started with 36 of us. So you're at 28 people had their place before the SAO came out.
Yeah.
And then even
I was 36 Irish people there.
Yeah, so there's 36 in my class.
In your class alone.
Yeah.
That is absolutely crazy. I didn't realize it was that many.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like there's 150
of us over there. So
obviously
it's a popular choice.
Yeah, for sure. But I would say for sure, if you're going abroad, there's like when you're looking at universities that have the most Irish, they're there for a reason. Like they don't all just find themselves magically in the same place. It's that like there is the word of mouth of like, come here, like these things are helpful, like small stuff, like not small stuff, but big stuff of we don't have to take a gap year once we qualify before we come in as interns and working. Whereas other universities in Poland, they have to take a gap year before they start working as a doctor because they don't graduate on time. So it's like, it's those type of things that like they're important to know. All the Irish are there for a reason.
Yeah. So it's a good sign if you're going to a place and you have...
But even small stuff like we have a GAA team, like all of those things, like it makes it that bit more nice to be away from home.
Yeah. So I suppose having never heard, I presume you weren't really that familiar with the process of studying medicine
in
Poland, going from not even knowing about it to doing an interview for it in the space of 4 or 5 days. It must have been really like, I mean, that must have been crazy. What was the interview process like?
The interview was very fine. I think from what we've talked about, because we obviously know a lot of the interviewing staff now throughout the years, like the college itself is quite small. They never seem to be very worried about the Irish. The Irish have a very good reputation over there of like, they're always, not always, but for the most part, the most hardworking, like they'll always excel in college. They'll always get through exams.
One of the reasons I would presume that, you know, they kind of know that the Irish people are hardworking and stuff is because a lot of them like yourself, it's the reason you're there is because you really, really wanted it. And like, maybe it wasn't possible for whatever reason in Ireland, whether it be just bad luck or the points that year. So like, if you're driven enough to want to become a doctor, to move abroad to pursue that, I think that's a really good sign. And that's probably what they
for
see
sure.
in you.
And then I think it's also an element of like their high school system in Poland and our Irish Leaving Cert, there's very little in the difference levels wise. Mm. Whereas like say for the Spanish, there's a little bit more of a difference that they have to kind of catch up a bit. And a few for the other nationalities that we're with. So like the Irish is very on par. Like say when we do our interview, we don't have to learn much more extra for them.
Yeah. And so I suppose you do the interview, you get in. Like then you're just sitting there with an offer for a Polish university, like where do you go from there? Like what was, you know, like did you have to start looking for accommodation? Did they put you in touch with people that knew what was going
on? I had, when I got my offer, I had until the following Monday to accept it, and the following Monday was the second round offers for the SAO. So obviously it was in the back of my mind of like, okay, if Galway goes, obviously I'm going to choose Galway ahead of moving to Poland for fun.
Yeah, naturally.
So the second round offers that day came out. Obviously didn't get my second round offer. So accepted my Polish offer. And then that day I booked my flight to Poland with my dad, the two of us off. And then, you know, the way I said that there was only 8 of us that applied after, we were the only 8 that didn't get accommodation in like the dormitories.
Okay.
So we had to find our own accommodation. And luckily, it's not like Dublin or any of the big cities in Ireland, like accommodation is available. So we flew in on like a Tuesday and we had an apartment by Thursday that we were like living in.
Wow. That's like unheard of.
And I still live in it now with a girl from Cork and a girl from Dublin. So the three of us are still living there 4 years later.
Gosh, that's mad.
It's crazy.
I can't imagine just the turnaround, especially because you know, like, fair enough if it had been like the thing of, say if this had happened to you the year prior, you decided okay, I'm just going to go to Poland, then I'm like, fair enough, okay, you're in Leaving Cert, you went through the motions, it didn't work out, you went to Poland. Sure. You had a whole year where like you were working to, the CEO was probably in the back of your mind the whole time, you were disappointed from the year prior. And for like really all of the problems are as such to be resolved within like 5 days, and now suddenly you're literally enrolled in a medicine course in Poland.
For sure.
And like, this is probably like the most ridiculous question ever, but obviously everything's taught through English over there.
Yeah. So that's like
you
one of the questions.
Do you have to take like a Polish class on the side or something?
We have 3 semesters of Polish. which is very surprising. Like, yeah. But like anytime, say when I'm home, I work in a nursing home over like back in Ireland. And also when I'm in the hospitals and stuff, when you get talking to people, a lot of the time, just because we have such a prevalent Polish like population in Ireland, they do assume like, oh, my mom's probably Polish, or like I'm half Polish or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no. I'd never been to Poland before I flew there to live there for however many years. But yeah, we have 3 semesters of Polish. It's very basic level, but it's manageable. Like, it's nothing crazy.
And then in terms of like the actual, I mean, okay, so after all this work, you finally get into the degree. I mean, imagine if you just didn't like it, you know, like imagine you realize a semester in that, oh God, I've just like spent a year doing this and now I'm in Poland. But like, obviously you loved it or
yeah, no. And I'm so lucky that I'm in a course that I love, because like we have had a few people that have loved living where we are and everything, and they end up dropping out just because they didn't like the course, which, you know, like completely understandable.
Fair.
Like, it happens everywhere. People get start courses and they don't like it. It's not the end of the world. But no, I'm super lucky. I do vividly remember that first semester obviously was just such an adrenaline rush of I had chopped and changed so much and been in a new country within 2 weeks of a choice of it. And it's just like, it was so like, first semester of any course is crazy because, you know, you don't know how college is until you're in it. But like that first semester was mental, of just exams all the time. And I think I was sick for about the first like 2 months just out of stress. But, you know, I don't think I'd change it now.
It's kind of expected. Like you said, to go from whatever to then 2 weeks later being in the middle of a semester in Poland in a country you've never been in before, with, I presume you didn't know anybody in your course before going.
Yeah. I was really lucky. I knew my cousin is married to a girl who's a doctor in Ireland now. But she has a family member who was actually studying in the university that I went to.
So you had a kind of somebody.
Yeah,
that
so she was a fifth year student. So I text her just around the time of my interview, just kind of more or less to be like, am I gonna have still like a normal college experience?
Yeah,
because like that is important. Like, I know obviously going to college and doing your degree is really important, but at the end of the day, I didn't want to have to sacrifice like having fun in my 20s and being able to like go and have some crack with my friends and all that jazz. So she really settled me, and I met her when we went out, and she was really normal, and just it really made me feel okay, like this is gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I've had a few people that have texted me since, and I'm like, I know how that feels, of like when you just need to know it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Especially because it is just so random. Like, it does,
it's,
you know,
so
like
random.
It's a random country. Like, you know, you see people that go on Erasmus to Spain and stuff. And like,
exactly.
Spain, like, hot country. People go there. Like, I can't imagine a lot of Irish people have been over to Poland just casually to visit. Like, it's definitely like a bit of a random place to go for a holiday or for a visit. I'm told it's like beautiful, but you know,
it's kind of
something that like we aren't as familiar with.
Yeah, like to be fair, I think a load of my friends have come to Poland for the first time just to visit me, and each time they're like, this is amazing.
Yeah. I think it's just kind of one of those countries that you just wouldn't think to go to on your holidays, because
for sure,
you know, like I said, it's not like a holiday destination in the summer. But like that, what is the kind of lifestyle like over there? Like, do you think that it's kind of different because you're in college and like you said, there's a lot of Irish people? Is it kind of like a mini, where you are anyways, like a little mini Ireland? Like, do you think you have a very similar college experience?
No, like it's for sure a bubble. So like for us in college, there's 80 of us that are studying through English, and then there's 240 that are studying through Polish. But we don't mix with them, other than like we do our exams together
for
classes or anything, but we do our exams together. So for all of our like final exams, we'll get the same exam. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, but we don't really mix with them. We very much stay within our English division, if that's what it's called. So like I would only have made friends with like the Polish students through like basketball would be kind of it. Or like you'd make the odd ones from like nights out that we meet them like when we're going out or whatever.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's very much like the people that you go to class with, people you go to the gym with, people you go out with, people you play sports with. That's all the same people, which it's good and bad. And also they're all doing medicine. Like we've only had in the last few years, but there's a few people that have started pharmacy. So we have 2 Irish that have started this year. And I think there's a few more starting this coming year. So that's another option. Pharmacy is there as well. And I think dentistry is starting soon as well.
Okay. Wow,
yeah. So, that's another thing that's a bit different. Like, say whenever I'd have had my friends that were doing like arts, that they wouldn't have many hours in a week in college in comparison to like we would be like 9 to 5 every day at least. So that's good and bad in that like you're very much a medicine bubble. Everyone's doing medicine. Yeah. Everyone's doing the same thing. Everyone's very high strung, like just stressed a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But you also don't have the distraction of your friends that are chilling and don't have to be in college and aren't doing that. You don't have that kind of not jealousy, but kind of like, oh, like I wish I was doing that. I wish I could chill out because you're not seeing it. So it has its pros and cons.
Yeah. And I would say one of the biggest pros there from what I'm hearing is like, it's very much we're all in the same boat kind of thing.
For sure.
Like, you know, and even with that, like, you know, naturally, I think when there's like 150 Irish people anywhere, they're going to band together. But like, it is nice as well. Like you said, just through sport or like through nights out and stuff to actually kind of like mingle with people who are like whatever studying through Polish as well. It is kind of nice to have that as well, but obviously just naturally like the people that you're seeing in class every day. I just feel like a lot of people might think, oh, if I move to Poland to study or any country like the Netherlands or something, if I move there to study something, am I going to be like the only person that like knows what's
but I think that's a very real worry to like have that thing. Like I think the people you surround yourself is so important. Like they are like, what's that phrase? You are the people that you surround yourself with. Yeah. Or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Like I remember when we went, we had like a welcoming dinner for all the Irish that had come with that agency. And I sat down and I was like, okay, this is going to be fine. These are all just other normal people who have missed out on medicine by a few points and are normal, who just want to do their course. But like, it's important. It makes a difference. Like I want to be able to have my friends that are going to be my lifelong friends, to be fair. Like, you know, like I've definitely found like my bridesmaids and stuff because they're like my sisters, you know, like we all say in our apartment, like we've gone past being friends. We bicker like siblings.
Yeah. Like. But especially because you're living abroad and it's such a unique experience that will get anybody closer together. I just feel like you said, I think the biggest worry when you kind of think of, oh, studying abroad, you're kind of afraid you'll be a bit isolated just because like culturally it'll be different. The language will be different. But like you said, it kind of is different, especially for courses like yours where, you know, like you're taught through English and like there's like a version of the course that is taught through Polish, but you're actually taught through English. Like you're not expected to, I suppose, like learn a language to the extent that you need to like be a doctor in it. But then I suppose this is kind of just I suppose for the next year or two for yourself, like what does the qualification look like if you wanted to practice in, is practice the word in Ireland? Yep. If you wanted to practice in Ireland, like what would you, would you like to come back to Ireland or do you love it so much in Poland that you don't want to come back, or is it like kind of difficult to do that?
Yeah, so like for me, I'm 100% I'm planning to come back and practice in Ireland. That's been the goal from day one. So it's an EU degree. So it's the same as if I trained anywhere else in the EU. So for when you apply back to Ireland, for anyone who's not aware, there's a few different kind of stagings of it. So you come back initially as an intern. That's your like first job outside of after you graduate. So as far as you list like your preferences, and the first people who get their preferences are Irish who study in Ireland, then it's us. So it's the Irish who study in EU countries. And then it's the likes of like the Canadians and like the Saudis and everything that study in like RCSI or any of the Irish universities. Yeah. They come in after us, or the Canadians or anything. They come in after us, and then it's everyone else. So as far as that, to the best of my knowledge, any Irish that has studied abroad and like wanted an intern position does get the intern position.
Okay.
So like say for this year we have like over 25 that have started. Most of them are actually in Galway, so there's like a lovely Polish little graduate bubble over there. But like all of them, they find no problem with it. Like you come in, you work as an intern, you know, there's no difference.
Yeah, it's the same as if you studied, I suppose. Because that's another thing. I think people think when you move abroad, it's kind of a bit of a sacrifice in the sense that sometimes it'll be a bit of a longer route, or like you'll get to your end goal a little bit later, but not really at all. Like, you know, most courses in Ireland are 6 years.
Yeah, but like say like even for that, like I have friends who did law like yourself and like they've taken the bones of 2 years to do their FE1s. Like my course is 6 years. So I don't think everyone's always like medicine so long. And I'm like, is it? I don't think like... So many of my friends that are doing secondary school teaching are doing 6 years of university.
Yeah.
You know, so like the years do work up very quickly.
Yeah. And in every profession, it's the same. Like even accounting, like you still have exams to do after 4 years. It's kind of constant. I suppose medicine is just very intense, I think, is what people are, you know, it's intense all 5 years or 6 years.
Yeah.
Or
so like, say even like once you finish, like for any of the training programs I'm looking at, they're all like 6-7 years, which people are like, oh, that's crazy. And I'm like, you forget I am going to be paid. Like, it's a job. Yeah. It's a progression of a job. Like, you are working to become an expert. It's like going into a business job and expecting to be a CEO the first day.
Yeah.
It's not realistic.
No,
you know?
No.
So like, I don't think anyone should have the length be something that like puts them off doing it, for sure.
Yeah. I suppose for somebody who's, I know yours was a bit of a whirlwind decision to actually end up studying in Poland,
yeah.
But for someone who's thinking about studying in Poland, you've kind of touched on it a bit already, but who's either thinking of studying in Poland or is listening to this thinking, oh, maybe I didn't do as well, maybe I might need to go abroad. What advice would you give to them? Just kind of.
So I think for sure, if I was Irish and if I had my time back again and I was like starting sixth year this coming year, I would for sure look into going to the UK. Just because like for small things, like it's people who speak your own language. It's a bit closer to home. There are, even though they are English, there is a lot more similarities between ourselves, say, and the Polish, like versus Polish. It just is a bit. So I would look into doing that. You're doing your UCAT or your BMAT, because that's a bit of an earlier, that's in like September, October, I want to say.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a more lengthy process. So I would for sure look at doing that. And then if not, if you're kind of like, okay, I'm going to look at other options as well, I think Poland is a great option. It's definitely, as the years are going on, there's more and more Irish getting over there, which is great. Like, it's making it easier. And we're having more connections when we come back to Ireland of like, if we need placements, we know doctors now here that have practiced, that have trained in Poland, are practicing here now, which makes a difference. So I think definitely like find, like we have, like you can look at ISO Bydgoszcz, that's the Irish Students Overseas, that's like, I can send you the link for it or something.
We can add it to the description of this podcast.
For sure and that's like our society, and it's run by all the Irish students, and we do a lot of events with them, and we also are a point base that you can do to send texts to, and we'll give you any information you want about studying in Bydgoszcz in particular, which is where I am.
Yeah, and it's not just, I suppose, in general, Poland seems to be a really good option, not just for medicine, but as you said, there's physio courses as well. And I know a lot of people, I don't, maybe not in your college, but we were saying before, study veterinary medicine as well as a really big thing over there too.
Yeah, veterinary's massive over there. Yeah, like I was saying to you before we started, we had a GA tournament and the Warsaw Vets had 200 people that were playing
it's
in that tournament
mental.
That weekend, which is crazy. Yeah, but it's even those things. Like, I think as the more Irish get over there, like we are doing things like that of like having our inter-college like tournaments and stuff. Like, I'd say there was the bones of 400 of us down in, we're down in Wrocław, or Wrocław, as we say here.
Yeah.
And we were all playing and it was great crack. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it just goes to show that like, it's something that unless you're thrown into the depths of, you kind of don't even realize it's there. Like,
exactly.
I had never heard. I think I met somebody when I was in like third year of college who was studying veterinary in Poland. I had never even heard of people going to Poland. And then I discover like there's actually a lot of Irish people over there, and it's a really good option. But like you said, it's not just Poland as well. Like, UCAS is another huge thing. And a lot of people studying in the Netherlands too. I don't know. I feel like the CAO is really tricky and is often like quite unforgiving. I think it's like, it's quite fair in some ways, in the sense that, you know, like there's no bias as such, because it's however many points you get. I know medicine's a bit different because the HPAT, but you know, it's just like you get the points, you get the course kind of thing.
Yeah.
But while that is kind of good in some ways, it's also really unforgiving in other ways. Like yourself,
sure.
Like, you missed out on a course by 1 point. Like,
yeah.
And like, it's not because you weren't capable. You know, you're in your fifth year of medicine now. You would have been well able for it in Galway. You know, like, it's nothing to do with like, people lose out on courses that they would have been absolutely fine in and might have even been amazing at.
And I think that's an important thing as well. If you miss out on your point, like not, if you miss out on your course by a few points or something, it's important to not, as difficult as it is to think, to not feel like you're not worthy of being able to do that course. You're like, you're absolutely able. Like, at the end of the day, unlike other like systems in other countries, like the Irish system is purely on supply and demand. It's like a course that can qualify you to do nothing could be 600 points if there's only one place for it, you know? So it's only purely that a lot of people want to do it. Like, you, if you have good grades in those subjects and you're hardworking, you can do it. Like,
yeah, and that's exactly why like other countries like Poland and like the UK, where you do a personal essay and you show them your grades, or in some you like kind of get conditional offers based on, we're actually going to have another entire podcast I'd say about UCAS and that whole thing of like applying for something, but like they take into account more than the CAO does. So like, getting a place in a college abroad is actually kind of, I think, maybe even a better stamp of approval of, okay, we think you're going to be good for this course,
exactly.
And you're a good ambassador for this course by us letting you in to study it. So yeah, I definitely think that like studying abroad is such a big kind of untapped market for Irish students at the moment. And I like you said, it's getting more and more popular every year, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like we're seeing it even, like we have, say, the current fifth year, the current fifth years when I started, there was only about like 15 Irish in their year, 15, 20. Like there was 36 when we started. I think there's a bit more in the year behind me. Like it's definitely upping each year because it's another outlet, another option for people to do. Like Ireland isn't the only option.
And let's not even like talk about the expense of studying in Ireland as well. Like, I mean,
yeah,
it's not for the weak. Is it like, is there much of a difference with Poland, or is it still a very expensive
so process? I think like cost of living wise, we would say the cost of living there now is quite similar to what Ireland was before COVID. Like it's definitely increased in price, but like it is definitely cheaper. Fees wise, it is more expensive, which is something that you have to take into account. But I think, say for me looking back on it, I was like, okay, am I going to do graduate entry medicine? That is a very expensive route to go down, which is something like if you have it in the back of your mind, you have to take into account. And especially since you can't get loans for it anymore from the banks. Mm. I'm so privileged that I am in a position that I have parents that are able to pay for it. And if it's something that you're able to go about doing, I'd 100% recommend it, that the graduate entry system is no cheaper.
Yeah. I mean, either way, like when you're looking at kind of options that aren't like the straight CAO straight into the course, like it's going to be a little bit more expensive, even if you do it as kind of like, you know, do 4 years of like general science and then do a postgrad entry. You know, you're always going to have to pay that little bit more. So I suppose it's great to get the experience abroad as well and kind of finish that little bit earlier either way. So
yeah,
I think, yeah, I don't know. I feel like you've given a great insight into, I suppose, just being driven and kind of going for what you want. Like, I feel like, you know, you obviously decided very early on that what you wanted, and you just kept going until you got it. And like, it wasn't an easy route by any means. Would you do it all the same again, or would you do it?
Yeah, like, do you know, like when you sent me some of the questions, I was kind of going through in my head, and like this summer would be 4 years since I got my CAO, since my second CAO even. And I was like, okay, if I had started nutritional science, I would be probably doing my GAMSAT this year and only starting medicine now. And I'm like, I'm happier with the way I've gone about it. I'm more content with, like, I'm going into my fifth year of medicine. I'm working, I'm like in the hospitals on placement at home. I feel like I know what I'm doing. Like, I'm happy with the way I've gone about it. I don't think I would change it.
Well, thank you very much for sharing all of that with us, Laura. That was amazing. I think as well, it was a great story in general of just determination and drive to kind of get where you want to be. And I really hope that anybody who's listening to this and maybe is thinking about studying abroad or is maybe a bit disappointed with how the CAO has been for them has kind of, you know, learned something from that. And it might have encouraged them. Who knows? They could be joining you in Poland next year for all we know.
Maybe.
So thank you very much. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you all for listening. And I'd encourage anyone who's listening to follow us on whatever platform you're listening to us on so that you can see more content like this. And we will see you in the next episode.